My name is Gianni Russo, a.k.a. Carlo, the infamous son-in-law from The Godfather. I'm now known as the Hollywood Godfather, and this is my story.
Before all of the wins in my portfolio, I was a little boy diagnosed with polio. Experimenting with cures, I tried every one. Felt everything in my right, but my left was numb. Walking with a limp, like will I ever run? Once again, or is this it? Am I forever done? Living in the hospital was never fun. Some people were cool, but not everyone.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another Hollywood Godfather podcast. And, you know, we always say send your letters and cards and all of that, and you get ideas from shows. Well, tonight's guest happens to be a fan of the show, and that's how we met. And now we've been friends for over a year. But before I introduce him, let's introduce the lady, Jeannie Raymond. How are you this week, my darling?
Hello, hello. I'm really great. So happy for my date night.
And Mike, the Hollywood kid.
Hi, guys. Appointment television, I guess. Oh, appointment podcast listening. That's what we are.
Yeah.
Right.
Every Wednesday.
That's perfect. Well, with that said, the gentleman, as I was talking about, is a fan of ours. He's listened to every show. He contacted me, and I went out to Portland, Maine, to do his podcast. And then he came to my show that I was doing there. And since then, we've been really close friends. He's come here. And without further ado, when you start to hear what we're talking about tonight, was a show I just watched of his, which you will not believe the names that are involved. Robert Baldacci, my good friend, how are you?
Hey, Gianni, my good friend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And Jeannie and Mike, look forward to our conversation tonight.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here, Robert.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Well, the other night, he sent me a clip, and he had Joseph Kennedy III on.
Wow.
Now, in my history, I met his grandfather with Frank Costello. I got his uncle indirectly doing all this running around to get him elected. Met his father also, his Uncle Teddy. But only to find out, our guest is a friend of the family of the Kennedys for years. They all know each other. And Joe Jr., the third, was praising his friendship with their uncles and all that. And so I want Robert to tell us more about that to our audience, because it's very rare we have a national dignitary, a royal family, other than the Kennedys that we talk about. His family is royalty in Portland and very involved in government, fortunately.
Yes, that's right.
So Gianni, can you give us more history, please?
Yeah, sure. And we'll have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Kennedy family. So it all started in 1960 when my dad, who owned an Italian restaurant in Bangor, Maine, met a young senator from Massachusetts named Jack Kennedy the year prior. And my father continued to have a connection with Jack. When Jack announced his candidacy for president, my dad brought him to Bangor, Maine for a campaign event in 1960. I was 8 years old. And I, along with my brothers, Peter and John, John later became governor of the state of Maine.
He sounds like disciples.
We were. So we were little kids. My dad's on stage with Jack Kennedy, and we had a chance to meet him. He gave my mother a big kiss, and I don't think she washed her face for weeks after that. And that began the connection that we had with Jack, and then his brother Bobby, who campaigned when Bobby decided to run for president, came up to Bangor, came to our restaurant, and in 1980, I was a delegate for Ted Kennedy. And when Ted came up to Bangor a few times to campaign when he was running against Jimmy Carter, it was a tough campaign, but we got to meet the whole family. And it was through that event, a series of events in Maine when Ted came, that I met his nephew, Joseph P. Kennedy II. Joseph Kennedy II is Bobby Kennedy's oldest son. And Joe and I became very, very good friends. When he decided to run for Congress, my brother John was in Congress at the time. And I contacted Joe, brought him up. We did several events, fundraising events in Maine for Joe Kennedy II. And he served in Congress along with my brother. And we became very, very good friends. Joe also headed up a nonprofit energy company in Massachusetts called Citizens Energy, providing low-cost heat and fuel to low-income people. And Joe is a lot like his grandfather, the one you know, Joe Kennedy, who was an associate with Frank Costello.
Well, they were partners for many years.
Joe Kennedy II is a real businessman.
I knew their lawyer in New York, and in the late 30s, each mm-hmm. one of them amassed $40 million each.
Wow.
And they started buying up real estate, one of them being the building I'm sitting in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they, I mean, you go down to Wall Street, I mean, it's so unbelievable to know what kind of money was made during Prohibition.
I mean, you're saying 30 to 40 million at that time. That, can you imagine what that's worth today?
It's like a billion. Oh, the buildings. Yeah, they're still there. They're still in trust.
And I know Joe Kennedy and the old man, we call him the old man, but the ambassador, whatever you want, however you want to refer to him. Also in Chicago, Gianni, he owned the Merchandise Mart.
Oh, I know all that here too. Yeah, it was crazy.
Was the mafia or was Costello involved with him when he?
Of course. Well, they wouldn't let him in there. But you know what they did also? They bought the Tropicana Hotel, Joe Kennedy and Frank Costello.
Yeah.
And they owned that. And that's when I opened my nightclub. Because when I came back after John's mishap, unfortunately, I left the country for 22 months. And when I came back, they told me to go west. Because there was a lot of heat yet in New York, and I don't mean heat in the building, pressure from everybody still wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I went out there and I opened the nightclub in the Tropicana Hotel called Tiffany's, and I had Elvis Presley open it up for me.
Wow, amazing, amazing. So our connection with the family goes back, and now Joe the Second's son, he has twin sons, Joseph and Matthew, twin sons. Joe attended Stanford University and got a law degree from Harvard. So he's a smart guy and speaks fluent Spanish, served in the Peace Corps, which his uncle, Sergeant Shriver, headed up under President Kennedy's administration. And Joe served in the Dominican Republic. And so when I heard that he wanted to run for Congress, like his father did previously, I contacted his dad and I said, look, we'd love to help him out any way we can. So Joe came up to Maine two or three times. We had very successful fundraisers for him. And we've remained close. And you saw the interview that we did with him on our local TV show. Yeah, very sharp.
Correct. If I'm wrong, he's the diplomat to Ireland now.
Diplomat. He's the special envoy to Northern Ireland, and he basically stepped into the shoes of my cousin. I'm half Italian, Gianni, and half Lebanese. So my
the Irish come in. Wait a minute.
How does the Irish come in? My cousin, George Mitchell, who was the Senate Majority Leader, was appointed by Bill Clinton to be the special envoy to Northern Ireland to bring peace in Northern Ireland after hundreds and hundreds of years of fighting between the Catholics and the Protestants and discrimination in Northern Ireland. So George is a very interesting story about George Mitchell. George was his mother's Lebanese, And his father was raised by a Lebanese family in Waterville, Maine. And it was when George entered the Senate that he checked out his father's background and found that he was an orphan son of Irish parents.
Oh, wow.
And so George is half Irish, half Lebanese. So he had certain standing when he went to Ireland to work with the Protestants and the Catholics. And after many, many months and a lot of time away from his family, he was able to come up with the Good Friday Agreement, which provided peace or set the framework for peace in Northern Ireland. And so Joe Kennedy, the third now, is continuing that work in Ireland right now and doing a great job. But it was, you know, he gives credit to my cousin, George Mitchell.
Well, they should send him maybe to Palestine and Israel to straighten that out.
Well, actually, when Obama was president, he asked George Mitchell to be the Middle East peace envoy. And I remember when George was heading over to Israel for the first time, and I was speaking with him, Gianni, and I said, I wished him good luck. And he said, you know, as tough as Ireland was to bring peace to Ireland, this is going to be almost an impossibility, because you're talking about thousands and thousands of years.
It is an impossibility.
It's amazing. It is. It is.
You know, I have from both sides.
He came up with a framework for peace called the Mitchell Principles that's still there. But as you can see today, it's erupting and it's in a terrible, terrible place right now in the Middle East.
Oh, no, yeah. And Netanyahu's not going to give up. I don't blame him in a way, because they created it and started it. But
That's right.
I agree with everything you said, Robin, in terms of, you'll never have peace in the Middle East, in my opinion.
No.
It'll never happen. It's all over land. It's not over, you know, soda pop or something. It's over land, and it's, you know, they're getting pushed out, and, you know, they're going to push back. And unfortunately, you know, innocent lives, you know, obviously they get women and children get killed for no reason. And it's a horrible situation.
It really is, Mike. It's tragic, and it's happening before our eyes. Terrible.
You know, they'll figure this out within a couple of years or whatever. Hopefully the diplomacy will take over, and something else will happen. You know,
that's right.
It's awful, awful.
Yep. So Gianni, your show is really set up to focus on the Kennedy family. And do we want to continue on our
I got a question
for Robert. Robert,
go ahead. Sure.
I mean, it's the political season, so.
Yes, it is.
RFK Jr., who is the lineage with Joe, the one you're mentioning?
Bobby Kennedy Jr. is the second oldest son to former Attorney General Robert Kennedy. Joe Kennedy, his brother, is the oldest in the family, and then the oldest son. Kathleen Kennedy, who was the lieutenant governor of Maryland, is the oldest in Bobby and Ethel Kennedy's family. What Bobby Kennedy is doing now is upsetting the family, Mike,
in a major way.
They're not happy with his conspiracy theories, the fact that he's running for president, potentially providing an opportunity for Trump to come in.
He's going to split the vote.
Right. Yes, he will.
Your opinion, you've been around politics a long time, and a lot of the different characters. I mean, where do you think the votes are going to go? He's going to take away votes from Biden or Trump? I mean, what do you think?
I think, to be honest with you, Mike, and I'm not a political expert, but I think he's going to take away votes from both.
Right.
From people who are not, there are a lot of people who aren't happy with the two choices. So somebody like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and that name it means a lot in this country still. He's leveraging off that, so he'll get some Democratic support. He'll also get some support from the Republicans. So I think it's a wash either way. But you know, every vote counts. This is going to be an extremely close election.
Yeah.
And so every vote matters. And to have somebody like Kennedy in the mix can throw it either way. That's my two cents.
I watched him on a Sunday morning program a couple of months ago. And he was dead serious. And he said, I remember my father waking me up.
Yeah.
And letting me know my uncle was killed by the CIA. So I tried to do the math. He was 9 years old. So his father came home when I woke him up to tell him that. That's insane.
I don't believe that. I mean, you're right, Johnny. 9 years old. It doesn't make any. It doesn't even pass the straight face test.
No, I mean it's insane. I mean, I got to know the father not because I wanted to. Happened to be at Carlos Macellus' house that Sunday afternoon in New Orleans when they raided his house on a Sunday afternoon, knowing he had these big barbecues for his family and friends. He did it deliberately.
He did it in front of the family?
And had the news and everybody there on a Sunday. And that's when they exiled him because he was in the illegal.
Yeah.
And they exiled him then. And, you know, I was in awe. I was a young, I was on the opposite of that whole thing for a long time. And he goes right to Bobby's face. They had him handcuffed. He's, you're a dead man. So he said, oh, you're threatening the attorney general? And he got all the cameras over. He says, say that again. He says, why do you think I'm threatening you? I'm just going to kill you. What are you talking about?
Did he really?
Oh, my God. On camera.
Wow.
And he did.
What happened in 1968? You know, you don't think Saran killed Bobby Kennedy by himself, do you?
No.
You think he was a patsy like Lee Harvey Oswald was?
Of course. I met Sirhan at Hollywood Park with Pacelli, who was his handler at the time.
Yeah.
They got him the job at the Hollywood Hotel. And he was, you know, a busboy.
Right.
And knowing that the convention was going to be there, they had guns planted all over that place before they had the sophistication we do now.
Yeah.
But if you look at the autopsy as Bobby, when he got killed, Sirhan shot him in the front. Somebody shot him in the back of the head.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a conspiracy that, you know, didn't work.
That's right. I know that Bobby Kennedy Jr. was advocating the release of Sirhan. Because Sirhan has been up for parole a number of times. Oh. But the family... His brothers and sisters have argued against it to keep him in jail.
And Junior is going to wants him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so the Kennedys, the whole clan, they pretty much alienated him from the family.
Pretty much.
But he gets a piece of his heritage no matter what.
Yeah. No, I've known Bobby Junior. We had an event. My brother was running for governor, re-election campaign. We had an event at with Glenn Close, who was living in Maine at the time, and Stephen King, who was a friend of ours, the writer. And I don't mean to drop names, but this was an event.
Why not?
I like it. Hey, what's all about? That's what they show.
All right. For some reason, Bobby Kennedy shows up, Bobby Kennedy Jr., and he was at the event as well. And why he was there, I don't know, because he wasn't listed on the agenda. But anyway, off camera, Gianni, I can tell you some stories of that event, but I don't want to.
I want to hear.
He's still alive. Why don't you tell us something you can say?
Off record. We can do it off.
Well, okay. All right, Jeannie, you twisted my arm. So at the event, and Glenn Close is just an absolute sweetheart. And Bobby was there, and there was a young lady who is a friend of mine, who all of a sudden, and Bobby was married at the time, he starts you know, I was standing behind him, and he starts holding hands and making a pass at her to, and they ended up having a relationship that lasted several months.
Well, it's a true Kennedy trait. That's what they do.
I thought you were going to tell us something juicy.
His wife ended up, you probably remember, she ended up killing herself. She committed suicide.
Over that?
Not over that, but I'm sure that that contributed to a bunch of problems that they were having in their family. So, so there it is. It's out there. And
does he have an illness? The way he talks, Robert, I know that's some type of illness. Is that some type of illness he has?
Yeah, he's had that. Yeah, Mike, he's had that, and it's hard to listen to him. It really is. I mean, he's not a stupid guy, but that raspy voice. I think he's had an issue with his larynx or something, an issue when he was a kid.
I thought he was a smoker.
not that I'm aware of, Jan. He's had it for a long time.
Wow.
And ever since I've known him. But I think the fact is the family is bullshit with him and what he's doing.
Oh, I can imagine that. Yeah. They got to be livid.
Well,
he's starting to make the Klan look like they're idiots, and they're not. They're far from it. I mean, they're so well educated.
They are.
Do we know, Robert, if the Biden administration is trying to force him out, push him out, get in his ear and say, listen, what the hell are you doing?
I'm sure there are people around Biden that are trying to do that, to kind of force him out. But
he looks like the kind of guy who's not going to listen to anybody.
No, that's correct.
Spoiled kid.
Does he have any big financial backers?
He's got some, but he's got some money of his own.
Who did you say, Tiani? Sure.
Hey, Mike, he gets a check every month from the family.
You don't need it.
A big check.
It's got a lot of commas on it.
No, the family, you know, they're a pretty well-established trust funds for all of them. And
I remember I got into it through because of Costello. And he said to me, their great-great-grandchildren will never, because some of these buildings here, the rent is still going to those trusts.
Sure, absolutely.
There's never going to be a shortage of money.
I know it.
No, because
I'm reading a little bit of background of Joe Kennedy III, who I interviewed a couple of weeks ago. His net worth, according to Wikipedia, I don't know if it's to be believed or not, $43 million net worth.
Tell us what your show is.
My show, Jeannie, is a local show that we upload on YouTube and social media. It's called the Runlett and Baldacci Report. Derry Runlett is a trial lawyer, a good friend of mine. He's had local TV shows for a long time. And so we've interviewed, obviously, Gianni. We've interviewed Gianni three times now. A Zoom interview, which I thought went great. And then when he came to Maine, the interviews were so incredible. We did two interviews, part one and part two. And I've had former Secretary of Defense, Maine Senator Bill Cohen, who's a good friend. My cousin, George Mitchell, Senator Mitchell. We've had, former mafioso captains. We've had a lot of people. We had a show on the Temptations and the Four Tops, and some of those.
I want to see that one.
So yeah, so they're all available on YouTube.
And
say it again on the name.
What's
the name of it again? Robert, where does Effie Bailey come in?
Okay. I was hoping you'd bring Lee up. In fact, we interviewed Lee, and Lee became a very, very close friend of mine. He moved to Maine when he was late 70s, early 80s, and I got connected with him. My brother John was governor at the time, and And Lee and I spent a tremendous amount of time together. Through Lee, we met mutual friends that Gianni knows, Al Melnick, and among others, who was very, very close to Lee. And Lee was trying to get back to be a lawyer because he loved the law. He was disbarred in Massachusetts and Florida on a case that the Justice Department asked him to take over. And in lieu of a fee, Lee took some stock in a drug company. And the stock went through the roof, millions of dollars. So the family of the drug dealer wanted the stock to come back to them and not have Lee hold on to it. And Lee said, look, it could have gone either way. One thing about Lee, he's a former Marine fighter pilot, and he's
tough guy. You
know, he's very proud. He's a proud man. And he said, my mistake was not having it in writing. So long story short, he refused to give it up. They took him to court. The judge ruled in favor of the family. He lost that money. And then as a result of having that money, the IRS was after him for years, for millions of dollars.
Right.
He told me that when he was doing the OJ case, he didn't get a dime. Bob Shapiro asked him to come into the deal, Gianni, and to help out, because Lee told me Shapiro doesn't have a clue to what it takes to deal with a criminal case like this.
Right.
And Lee brought in Alan Dershowitz. He brought in a lot of very well-known attorneys, and several that you know too.
So nobody got paid? I never asked if they.
Shapiro got paid. Lee did not get paid. And he said, after that case and after getting OJ off that murder rap, Lee said, my life was ruined in a lot of ways. He just had a very difficult time trying to get back up on his feet. So he moved from Massachusetts to Maine, and I got him involved in a number of different with different opportunities. He was very passionate about working with ex-cons to keep them out of jail. And he and B.B. King were very, very close friends, and they would travel all around the country going to prisons. B.B. would play, Lee would give a talk on what it takes to get out of prison. And he helped to found a nonprofit here in Maine called Maine Works, which is a great program to take these kids that come out of jail and get line them up with some training and jobs and not go back, because the recidivism rate is so high when people get out of jail, they are right back in, because that's the only life they know. So Lee was very passionate about helping these kids, boy, men and women. And, in his last book that he wrote, I think I sent you a copy of it, Gianni. If you don't have it, it's the about the O.J. Simpson case.
No, I didn't get
it. He believes that O.J. was innocent. And he said,
probably the only one.
Well, most people.
Because I know O.J. too well.
Well,
he's a jealous son of a bitch, man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But if you
read really well. I mean, we had the same agent for a while, Jack Gelati at ICM. Oh, no, I know OJ. He's been in my house.
Yeah.
I had a house on North Elm Drive in Beverly Hills. I had all those people there. But I mean, he was a big celebrity, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But what does he base his innocence on?
Oh, Mike. Well, Mike, I'll send you a copy of the book.
Yeah.
Actually, Pat McKenna, who was Lee's chief investigator, and with all of his major cases, Pat lives in Florida now. I know he'd love to be on your show and talk about the actual evidence
send my youngest daughter a copy of the book too.
But tell me what it's called.
What's that?
What is it called? I'm intrigued.
It's the O.J. Simpson. It's the truth about the O.J. Simpson trial. And most people who were addicted to watching that show, Jeannie, only saw one side of it. He said there was so much evidence that the public never saw. And Gianni, Lee had no use for Bob Shapiro at all, but he and Johnny Cochran and Lee were very close up until the time that Johnny passed away. And Barry Sheck is another one.
Bob Kardashian as well.
Yeah, Kardashian, that's correct. That's correct. So I'll send a copy of the book, and if you want Pat on the show, I know he would love to come on.
Yeah, please. You know, I had Steve Wynn has a good friend of mine.
Yeah,
I had both his daughters' bar mitzvahs at my club, State Street, and when I had my incident with that gentleman, he called Shapiro on Sunday.
Yeah,
and said I'm sending Johnny down on his plane Monday to see him. But I knew what went on. I killed a guy in self-defense.
Right.
150 people saw him slit my throat. He said, you got to go. So I go. This is a great story about the arrogance of this guy. Yeah. He's in Century City, sitting in a corner desk against a window on the top floor, plexiglass desk, everything. And they bring me into his office, and he goes like this. He's on the phone. And I didn't want to go to begin, but I didn't go to bed. I stayed up all night. I was drinking martinis. I said, let's go. Because I had to be there 9:30 in the morning.
Right.
I don't go anywhere in the 9:30 in the morning but to the bathroom. So, so I'm sitting there, and this guy, like, he's directing traffic. Every time I get up, he's like, oh. So then finally I went over, and I put the phone. I slammed it down. I said, let me just tell you something. I was sent here by a friend of yours. I don't even like you. I wouldn't even show up here. And he stood up. I said, don't get stupid. I'll throw you out this window. He had a button. And they came in and got me out of his office.
Guys, a lot of guys got buttons under their desk for some reason.
Oh, man, this guy thought
I have a button at work.
Not long I have one, too.
That's my Shapiro joke, not a joke.
Lee Bailey would have enjoyed hearing that one, I'll tell you.
Well, if I could circle back to Lee Bailey again.
Sure,
Did he give you any inside scoop on the Boston Strangler case, Albert DeSalvo?
He would talk, that's the case that really launched him in a lot of ways.
That was a big deal. I'm from Boston. That was a big deal.
You are from Boston?
Yeah.
He's there now. He's sitting in Boston right now as we speak.
Are you really?
I don't think that's the skyline of Boston, but that's okay.
The North End, one of my favorite neighborhoods.
Oh, mine too. Oh, we got to go there together. Forget about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, the last time I was in the North End, and I'll answer your question, they had a big poster in one of the restaurants. I can't remember which one. Di Pasquale's, one of his many restaurants. Anyway, big poster of Gianni Russo appearing.
Oh, wow. I was going to appear there. Yeah.
That's right. I think I took a picture and sent it to you. Anyway, the Boston Strangler. Yeah, he felt that he was guilty, and that he didn't get DeSalvo off, but he helped to mitigate his sentencing, I believe, Mike. The one that he was most proud of, the case he was most proud of, was the fugitive, Sam Shepard.
Yeah, wow.
Which he was, Shepard was accused of killing his wife. And it helped to bring on that, the movie with Harrison Ford and the TV series with David Janssen, I believe.
Yeah,
and Lee became a consultant on both of those, the TV show and the movie. And he and Harrison Ford were lifelong friends. Lee absolutely fascinating. I kept telling him, you know, Lee, you got to write a book. You got to write a book about your career, like Gianni, for God's sakes. All the people you know, everything you've been involved in. It's like the 20th century, history of the 20th century, the 21st century.
Well, I started early, that's why.
Yeah.
Yanni, I think it's time for a commercial.
Okay. We know where you live, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm happy to say Hollywood Godfather Rob Ography is now playing on most platforms. Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music.
Mr. Russo is probably the most interesting man I've ever sat with in my life.
Unbelievable. Still unbelievable. I consider Gianni like Forrest Gump, right? The most interesting man on the planet.
He has achieved so much in his life, and he has proven that time reveals the victorious.
We're basically bringing Gianni Russo's life to rap music, if that makes any sense. You know, I'm painting a picture of this guy's life through rap music the best way that I know how.
We're trying to encapsulate his life in segments, chapters, if you want to call them that. And Gianni's story's crazy, but then Joel as an artist being able to articulate it, that's also crazy. Everything that you're hearing, this isn't a rapper that's making up something that he wished would have happened. These are things that have happened, that are documented, that you can check on, that you can Google. For you to hear about his life this way and to understand that these are facts and not fiction, you listen to it, you're gonna say, no one man could have lived this life. You have to say that. I've said that, I still say that.
For me, it's very special because it's something that was never done before.
I would just tell people that haven't heard it or about to hear it, if you could watch a movie about the world's most interesting person, would you watch it? This is that movie. You'd want to watch that.
Okay, we're back.
The other thing, Mike, Lee and Johnny Carson were very close friends. And Lee was on, Lee told me he was on The Tonight Show 20 times.
Oh, wow.
And then Lee also had his own, with Johnny, he had his own show where he would go in and interview like John Paul Getty. He went over to London to interview John Paul Getty. You can see these on YouTube. His interview with Sean Connery was and Zsa Zsa Gabor was amazing. Oh, wow. You should definitely check some of those out. Very, very cool stuff. Very cool.
I didn't know that at all about him. Where's on YouTube, you're saying?
On YouTube, yes. Oh, yeah. Just F. Lee Bailey, Sean Connery. F. Lee Bailey, Zsa Zsa Gabor, John Paul Getty.
It's awesome, of course. I know him and Lee were both big drinkers.
Who's that?
You mentioned Johnny Carson and F. Lee
Bailey. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Johnny Carson once told me he had two elbow transplants.
That's funny.
I love Johnny Carson. He was so
yeah, good. He was great. The relationship that he had with Sinatra and Dean Martin and the Rat Pack, is that...
Oh, my God.
Were they close friends?
He made Don Rickles' career.
He did.
That was it. I mean,
yeah.
He's so funny. I did 23 Merv Griffin shows, and I called him one day. I said, you never let me on your show. He's your friends with Merv Griffin. I said, what did that have to do? And they want to do your show. He's not on my show no more. I can't. He wouldn't let me on.
Are you serious?
He used to come to my house because I had a house on a Las Vegas Country Club. And he used to appear in his show at the Sahara Hotel, which is a block away. Would never let me on.
Gianni, I'm sure you knew Fred DeCordova, producer of the country.
Fred would produce that show for years.
Yeah, there was a famous article, if you look it up in the Vanity Fair, huge article about Fred DeCordova and his wife. They used to have this extravagant lifestyle they lived. Now, when he first started doing a show, I don't know what year it was, in the late 60s, he was making $500 a week. That was probably that was a ton of money. Anyways, he may have started progressing and making more and more money. And they had a falling out one night when Carson's son died. One of his sons died, right, Gianni? Yeah. So at the end of the show, he's doing like a tribute to his son. And Fred DeCordova was saying, cut it. No, let's go. You know, cut it off. And he never forgave him for that.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's the network telling him to cut it.
Yeah, but he never forgave DeCordova. Anyways, when Fred DeCordova passed away, he called the wife because she blew all the money. She blew all his money. And he gave her $100,000. Gave her $100,000. Yeah. True Carson? Story. Johnny Carson gave him $100,000. Gave the wife $100,000. She ended up blowing all the money and she ended up moving in with her maid in like Mexico. Because he was a big socialite. You know,
I had a couple like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a Vanity Fair article, very famous article. You can find that online anytime, anywhere.
That is wild.
Yeah. Wild. Yeah.
So we're almost running out of time. I knew it would be a great interview. What are some of the things we would like, Jeannie? Because Jeannie acts as our liaison with the audience. If they were sitting,
she's like a personal Vanna White. She's like our Vanna White.
She does a great job.
Oh, you're nice. Well, you know, it's because I always want to ask questions, and so finally they just come on in here. So, what is your daily life like now? What is it you do? Other than your show, and I have seen your show. I remembered seeing it. It was right before we had Mr. Nail on the show.
I've been involved in a lot of different businesses, Jeannie, throughout my career. But recently, I'm doing a commercial real estate brokerage, selling hotels and industrial properties, which I enjoy. I've been involved in real estate either on the development side, construction, brokerage for a long, long time. I'll be 72 this year, believe it or not. It's that Italian Lebanese blood, Mike. That's what can I say? And I'm the oldest of eight in our family. We grew up in the restaurant business in Bangor, Maine. Got to meet all kinds of people growing into that.
Restaurant still there? The restaurant?
Unfortunately, no. We had my dad died at 64, pancreatic cancer. My mother died 75 with a heart attack. My younger brother Paul was running the restaurant, and he passed away.
Wow,
40 something years old. It's just awful. And I was in Portland. My brother was governor. My other brother, I've got brothers who are lawyers, and we weren't able to step into the restaurant and kind of keep it going. So we ended up selling it. My nephew Paul is running a food truck called Mama Baldacci's down here in Portland. So the tradition continues, but my grandparents started it in 1933 in Bangor, the first Italian restaurant in Maine. And we used to have Ted Williams. We used to have the Boston Celtics players whenever they would come up. There was an exhibition game with the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants. They came to Bangor, Maine, if you can believe it. Frank Gifford was playing for the Giants. Andy Robustelli. All of these guys, Paul Horning for the Giant, and they all came into the restaurant.
I'll give you one, Robert. I'll give you one real quick. Muhammad Ali, did he fight Sonny Liston there?
In Lewiston, Maine. Not in Bangor, but in Lewiston. And the guy that promoted that fight, and Lewiston was sort of a fallback because they couldn't get the fight arranged in New York or whatever. Sam Michaels, a Lebanese guy from Lewiston, Maine, said, "I'll promote it. I'll do it," and he did. And that was the infamous fight where Liston goes down in the first round, first few seconds.
No choice. No,
it is.
Go ahead, Johnny.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I just saw that you were into real estate, and I thought you would love it around here, but these are homes up on the side of the Wasatch Mountains here in Utah that are absolute monsters.
Oh, Utah is magnificent. It's beautiful.
Yeah, right up in these mountains, and it's incredible, the homes that are up here. It is. I drive around and I'm thinking, my goodness, they're just absolutely gorgeous. So
yeah, I'm sure, Jeannie. I'm sure.
It is fun. I'm glad to hear that your mom's restaurant is continuing to go on, because it's sure sad to see a family business.
It is.
It's such a pillar of the community, you know? So that's all.
Well, it helped, you know, in a lot of ways. My brother John was able to, when he was running for office, whether he was on the city council, state senate, Congress, governor, he would do these spaghetti dinners. They call them Baldacci spaghetti dinners. And he would travel all around Maine. And for $5, you know, he and I and my brothers and sisters would be behind the line dishing out the spaghetti and meatballs and the salad. And it had provided an opportunity for him to connect with people.
What idea, though.
It was great. And, you know, it's...
maybe we should have Trump do that.
How's the hockey program?
What do you do with Trump Baldacci dinner?
There you go. There you go, Gianni.
Well, but thank you, first of all.
You guys got a good hockey program over there, Robert.
Oh, at the University of Maine. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic hockey program. No, and I graduated from the University of Maine. So out of 8 of us, 7 of us went to the university, and then went on to become lawyers and whatever. So my father and my mother always said she wanted the oldest in the family to be a priest. She kept saying, I want you to be a priest.
And I wish they did that in my family.
Didn't take.
The Sicilians, their first born in the family has to go to the church. My older sister, Terry, had to go to a convent.
Oh, Jesus.
I always thought, imagine if I was the older, I'd probably be Pope by now.
Gianni, I could see you as a Pope. You got that look. You got that look.
I love the clothes, too. The collars, you know.
Big hat.
Oh, yeah.
Big hat on.
That's right. The big hat.
You know,
Robert, thank you so much because we're out of time. And
so fun to have you.
Yeah, it was great being on.
We will definitely have you back. Fortunately.
Anytime, my friend.
And out of us doing each other's show now that he's on ours,
now
our friendship just keeps getting deeper.
That's right. It does, Gianni. I love you and love Julia. And
thank you.
Look forward to seeing you guys soon.
I will. And give our best to Beth.
And I sure will. And, all right. And Mike and Jeannie, great to see you. God bless.
Simon, I'm a fan. I'm going to drop your name. Maybe it'll take care of me.
Absolutely. Anytime, Mike. Come up to Maine. I'd love to meet you.
Hey, you could drive over there anytime.
That's right.
I'm so far away from you guys. I'm feeling jealous. I'm going to have to get some frequent flyer miles going so I can come join the fun stuff.
Get your passport. Oh,
yeah, I know. I need to. I'm so dumb. I will. I'll work on that. Next time we speak, I'll tell you how far I've gotten on that. But if you'll mention your YouTube show one more time, so people would
like it's the run, yes, Runlet and Baldacci Report, and I've done Baldacci on Business, but Runlet and Baldacci Report on YouTube, you'll be able to see several of our interviews, including the one and only Gianni Russo, who we love, and our favorite guest by far.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, in closing, Jeannie, we have any message we need to talk about?
If we do, I don't know. I do know we probably ought to mention your upcoming PaisanCon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this show airs after that. So thank you, though.
Oh, darn it. You'll have to tell us how much fun you had.
Johnny, how about another shout out to our buddy, Jose?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, please, you do it. You introduced us to this kid.
Yeah, Jose Gama, he's out there and he's dealing with some issues right now, and him and his dad, and super fans of the show. They're super fans. Great people.
I sent him a rosary from the Vatican, from John Paul. Yeah, I hope he's wearing it.
Yeah, they were very, very happy. And he writes it on Facebook that he can't believe that he's, because he listens every week, and he's like, oh my God. You know, he's bedridden. So young kid, great kid. So keep fighting, Jose. We're there for you, buddy. God bless you, Jose.
We love you. Pray for you every day. God bless. Keep the cards and letters coming in, and we'll
send any checks. And any checks too. Don't be shy.
Yeah, no money. Yes, please be sure to share with your friends. Rate and review. Say something nice.
Tell your family, your friends. Tell all your enemies.
Right.
See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks again, Robert. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
And that was that. lived a life with no restraints. The little kid they all counted out, proved them all wrong, that's without a doubt. Laying there with my left side numb, 5-year bout with polio, but yes, I won. From standing on corners like how many pens you want, to living in a bakery, then opening my own restaurant. Of course, I had some help along the way, friends like Frank Costello that I miss each and every day. Things from many years ago still resonate. I can still see it like it's yesterday. Eating pasta with Frank Sinatra. Me and Marlon Brando hanging, making The Godfather. Run-ins with the law, but I was not bothered. My faith in the Lord gave me God's armor. Plus, I hung out with the Pope at the Vatican Bank. My kids still can't believe I sat with a saint. My life's like scenes out of a movie. I'm the Hollywood Godfather, truly. I got stories with them all. You know, celebrities, world leaders, icons. Who knows what's next for me? I'll never get too old to have a little fun. Come on, I'm Gianni Russo, a genuine one of a kind. What a ride it's been, this life of mine. And I ain't done yet, I'll be back. Until next time.
And that was that.